I have good news for you today. Who could use a little good news? Well, if you've got a Bible, turn to Psalm 1. So in this last few weeks, we've been walking through a series entitled Songs in the Night, which is a phrase that comes from Psalm 77 and I think one other place in the Psalms. But we call the Psalms songs because many of them were song lyrics originally. Now, not all of them. Some of them were blessings or prayers. They had different approaches. Some were written as a private prayer. Some were written as a public worship song. You can tell that as you walk through them. And we know not only from archaeology, but just because of what they pray about and what they sing about, that all the Psalms weren't written by the same person and they weren't written in the same environment. And so even their themes will change. And so early on when they were at war, they would sing songs about, "Oh Lord, deliver us from our enemies," and "Lord, give us strength and be our rock and our fortress." And whenever they begin to sing songs about things like that, I think of Hezekiah, although he wasn't the only king that went through wartime. In fact, probably all of them did in one way or another. But that was a major theme during his time. And we know that because in the book of Isaiah, we have a prophet that prophesied during that time. And we can hear a lot of those same phrases and a lot of those same emotions coming out. And there was something that happened about three generations later. The next of the three great kings of Judah, one being David, Hezekiah, and the third being Josiah. And I'll talk about it in a little bit, but there was a revival that broke out. And Hezekiah was a revivalist as well, but Josiah had a particular revival in regard to his love for the law of the Lord. Now, what that was another way of saying the word of God. And so it was during this season that a lot of the scriptures or psalms, not only are they scripture, but they begin to talk about scripture. And so they were kind of, it's the time when the writing of the Hebrews became self-aware, when it would mention writing and when it would mention all of these things. And another thing was just, instead of the contrast being between us and the nations, or us and the goyim is the word in Hebrew, which means the Gentiles, now the difference is between us or between the righteous and the wicked. And so instead of being psalms that were wartime psalms, they were revival time psalms. Instead of the conflict being between us and our enemies, now it was between the wicked and the righteous. And which one are we going to be? And the difference was whether or not we're going to listen to the word of God and do what it says. And so this is a season of revival. And Psalm 1 fits along in those lines. Now, it doesn't have a title. Nobody could ever say dogmatically exactly when it was written. My favorite English commentary, Adam Clark, thinks that it was written by the Levites after the exile as an introduction to the whole book. Well, whether or not it was written, then you couldn't pick a better psalm to be an introduction to the book of Psalms. If you've ever read the Psalms, if Psalm number 1 doesn't make you fall in love with them, I don't know what will. Because it's just so beautiful and powerful, and I could not think of a better blessing to start with than Psalm 1 to kick off year 2021. Are you with me? And so let's just read what the Word of God says, and it begins with this phrase, "Blessed is the one." Would you read this psalm with me? If you're at home, you can read it. You can read it from your own Bible. And I only say that because I really do believe there's something powerful. In some more liturgical churches, they have a lot of things that you read and that you quote or that you recite back and forth. We don't do that as much. Most of our church involves just me talking and you listening. But did you know it activates a different part of your brain when you read something and a different part of your brain when you actually speak something? And so I think it's a great thing to do as a congregation. Let's just declare the word of God together, can we? Read it with me. It says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. And whatever they do prospers. Who could use a little prosperity about this time in their life? And then he says, not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Do you hear that contrast in it, how it ended? I like to end with verse 3 most of the times, just the prosperity part. But this is more than just a blessing. It also is a warning. And so the end of this short psalm, 6 verses in all, is kind of an apocalyptic proclamation about the contrast. You've got a choice in this life. Either you're going to be in the company of the wicked or the company of the righteous. And what's the difference? He says the difference is between those two, whether or not you fall in love with the Word of God and allow it to be the thing that leads you and that guides you and that takes you into the right path. God's Word really is something that is meant to be a blessing. And so he even begins, all of the book of the Psalms begin with this phrase, blessed is the one. In Hebrew, it's Ashrei Ha'ish. Literally in King James, it says, blessed is the man. I think it's right for us to include the women in the blessings, don't you think? Blessed is the one, because he's not just talking about men, he's talking about any person. Any person that falls in love with the Word of God, their life is going to be blessed. And I thought it was interesting. There's another word for blessing in the Bible, barak, which means to wish a blessing upon somebody. You know, to bless somebody like Jacob blessed his children, right? That's one kind of a blessing. This kind of a blessing is one that you just get because you're in the right place at the right time. Ashrei, or ashri, it means that you are blessed. Blessed is the man, blessed is the woman. Without even trying, without doing a bunch of other things, if you would just fall in love with the Word of God, you're blessed. No matter what else, you inherit the blessing. You don't have to ask for it. You don't have to beg for it. You can't buy it. If you fall in love with the Word of God and allow it to be a part of your life, you're blessed. You're going to be blessed no matter what. You're going to be blessed in the good times, and you're going to be blessed in the bad times. That his blessing will be something that just flows from your life. As a matter of fact, that word to be blessed, it literally could be translated, happy are those. It reminds me of the Beatitudes that Jesus preached on the Sermon on the Mount. He says, blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Actually, one of those, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth, is actually from the Psalms. And so Jesus was repeating that, and his word for blessed also again is just happy are those. And if you're not one that's listened to the Word of God a lot, you wonder why I keep pronouncing it blessed, just habit. There's no other reason. If I was a normal person and I read that word, I'd say blessed, wouldn't you? But I grew up in church, and so somehow or another, we decided years ago to say hallowed and to say blessed. But I can't read it without saying it that way, so you just have to forgive me. But it starts with this, blessed is the one who doesn't walk in step with the wicked, stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful. I got King James there because that's the way I memorized it. But have you ever noticed in this that in each one of those things, first, every Sunday school teacher knows this progression. First you're walking, and then you're standing, and then you're sitting. It's like settling into something. Each one of those is a step down the road to the wrong direction. And how many know that in our lives, every day is an opportunity to take a step in one direction or another? And so the first thing the psalm is teaching us about is the path of happiness. What it means to be blessed in the Lord and what it means to live a kind of life that's going to bring about happiness. Some people might find me shocked to talk about happiness. You ever heard somebody preach, maybe I've done it before, that what God gives us is lasting joy, not only happiness. And you can be all not too happy on a particular day and still be blessed. It's all true. But now let me talk out of the other side of our mouth. But God wants us to be happy as well. He does want to bring joy and happiness. And that word is bigger than just an emotional thing. That happiness comes from a relationship with the Lord, and it comes from living a kind of life that's blessed of the Lord. And so that progression of standing or walking and then standing and then sitting down, it's reminding us of the fact that every decision we make, every choice is taking a step. Either it's taking us further down the path or it's taking us further away from the path. And Psalm 26 is another one that uses those same words, so it could have been written in the same context. He says, I do not sit with the deceitful, nor do I associate with hypocrites. My feet stand on level ground. In the great congregation, I will praise the Lord. Here's talking about a person that just saying, you know what? If you want to know the blessing of the Lord, you got to stand firm in the presence of the Lord. You have to stay in that relationship with Him. You have to pursue that relationship with Him. It doesn't just happen. How many know a healthy marriage relationship doesn't just happen? You have to work at it. You have to intentionally do things that are going to make it better. Anybody with me? I've sat with people just as a pastor. I've sat with people that years down the road, they come to me because they're having marriage problems. And I say, well, where did this begin? I said, tell me about your relationship, how it goes. And they would recount to me 20 years of things that they have been doing, like water on a rock, to plant bad seeds in their marriage. 20 years of just little things that they chose not to do and little things that they chose to do. And now their marriage is like this, and they want to come to me in 20 minutes and have me put it back together. I said, listen, friends, it took you 20 years to get here. Don't say it's going to take 20 years to fix it, but how you get back is the same way you got here. It's one little healthy decision after another. It's the same with addictions, and I'm not an addiction expert, but I've had many friends that have not only struggled, but seen healing in their life. Same thing with mental health. We want to just find what's the magic pill that's going to cure me or that's going to fix me. But we don't realize not only how our soul works, but how our brain works. That every decision forms another pattern. Every decision kind of plants a new path off to the side. Every decision is either taking us a little bit away or back onto the path. And so if you find yourself off the path, and I'll let you define what that looks like, but you're off the path that you know you should be on. You're off the path that you want to be on. And how did I get here? One tiny little step after another. How do I get back? Friends, there's good news. One tiny little step after another is you can get back onto that right path. But first step is to begin to start making different decisions. I'm not a neuroscientist either, but I like to read about things like that because I want to know what's going on in my own mind. Scientists will even say what I'm talking about isn't just a spiritual truth. It's a biological truth. That every decision you make or every time you seek pleasure or whatever it is, your brain begins to form different neural pathways. There are chemicals like dopamine, which is the happy chemical in your body that's produced naturally, that gets stimulated and then electrifies a different part of your brain. Every time you do something or every time you build a habit and it gives pleasure or it gives joy or it gives happiness, your brain marks it and says, I remember that place. And so it begins to form a path down that. After a while, it's why good, healthy habits, even like coming to church or worshiping the Lord or having a devotional time with the Lord. Every time you do that and tell your brain, this is a good thing for us. This is a good thing. I don't know what I'd do without my morning cup of coffee and the Word of God open and just spending time with the Lord. It just makes my brain happy. I get excited to get out of bed because I can't wait to have my devotionals. It just, over the long haul, my brain has gotten used to my time alone with the Lord. It's almost, even before I get up and have breakfast, that's the first thing that happens. And all of those decisions, those little ones that we make, they happen because of a decision to do little things along the way. And first the walking, then the standing, and then the sitting. He says, I'm not going to go off into that trail. Maybe I've taken two steps off the path, but that's only two steps back. And all I need to do is just come back to the Lord. And He forgives every time and He restores. And His word teaches us how to stay on the right path. Anybody with us? And so what is it that we're going to focus our energy on. You know, I've had a lot of opportunities during this COVID shutdown to just determine for myself where my energy is going to be spent. Because if I'm not careful, I can spend it all on watching the negative news 24/7. And I find myself, I think in this last year, I've watched less news than at any point in my life. Because it's just negative all the time. And after a while, I said, you know, if I don't want all this negativity to be building up in my bloodstream, I can't be just feeding myself with it 24/7. So I've tried to discipline myself to do other things. And so when we focus our, whatever we focus our energy on, it begins to form a pathway that leads back to life. Jesus said it like this. Would you read his word with me today? He says, enter in through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. So listen, Jesus says, there's plenty of people on the broad road. Choose the narrow road. Come in through the narrow gate. It doesn't matter if all of your friends aren't doing it or not many people do it. You just pick the path that God's laid out for you and pursue it. Why? Because there are a lot of people on the road that leads to destruction, but very few on the road that leads to life. Jesus came along to show us life, to remind us. He said, I came in to fulfill everything that was written about me in the prophets and in the Psalms. The word of God was his life. He was the word come in the flesh to teach us what it looks like just to live a life in relationship with his Father and in keeping with the word. Jesus loved the word of God. He quoted from it constantly. He was always reminding people, even when he was under attack by the devil himself, he would always say, yes, but it is written. It is written. He would always quote scripture back to him. He was a man of the word. One of my favorite preachers, Charles Spurgeon, used to say, I want to be such a man of the word that if you cut me, I bleed scripture. I want the word of God to just be part of me. That doesn't mean just reading books and books and books and all day long, but that I would read something and then he says, and just meditate on it. Allow it to be part of you. Allow it to just be a part of your everyday, the way that you walk. I've been learning a lot of new things, just trying something different, taking a little bit of a break from the news, trying to eat different. You know, it's just amazing at how many little things can make a difference, but they don't make a difference all at once. They make a difference a little bit at a time, day after day. And so what the psalmist is talking about is just finding a kind of a life and a rhythm of the Lord's grace that will produce fruit for the long haul, that will make us healthier, of finding things that that feed our mind instead of destroy our mind, finding things that feed our spirits instead of making our spirits heavy, finding things that will just keep the tree healthy so that the fruit will be healthy. Anybody say amen? Say amen. I feel like a life coach more than a preacher today. But God's word is like that. It's surprising to me sometimes how very practical and very personal God's word is. Psalm 1 for me is an admonition to me. Every time I read it, I hear the Lord saying to me, blessed is the one. I hear, blessed is the Mike. When I don't do these things and when I do these things. I've found it to be true. Have you? And the second thing he says, but his delight, or their delight, her delight, is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on this law day and night. And so there are a lot of key words in that little phrase, but the one I picked up on was delight. So first thing is, what is it that we seek to find happiness? And the second one is, what do we delight in? I just love this idea, not only that somebody would read the Word of God, but that they would just fall in love with it, that they would delight themselves in the word of the Lord. By the way, unless in case that word law breaks anybody up, because there are some parts in the New Testament, the writings of Paul, that talk about being saved by grace and not according to the law, that's a different concept. The word law in Hebrew is Torah. It means the teaching. It's another way of saying, it's an Old Testament way of saying the word of God. And so he says this person is just delights themselves in the Word of God, God's revelation to humankind, and who just loves to pick up their Bible and read it. In the writing of this, their Bible looked different than ours does. We have books and writings that weren't even in existence back when the Psalms were being written. And so he's just talking in very general that whatever you have access to God's Word, that you would just delight yourself in it and then meditate. Now, when I was a kid, I always thought of those people with their legs crossed and going into a trance. Meditate in the Bible just means to ponder on it, to think about it. I don't just read it, but I think about it. There are some people that are really fast readers. Are you a fast reader? I'm not a fast reader. I'm a slow reader, especially when I read the Word of God. I don't measure it by how many verses I get through. For me, it's not a check off the box and so I can feel spiritual for the day. I measure it by how much God spoke to me during the process. So if I only get through five verses, but God really spoke to me and ministered to me, that's a great day in the Word. How many are with me? There are other days that I will. I'll start at the beginning of Isaiah and I won't stop till I'm all the way through it, because I just love sometimes listening to the whole thing altogether. But it just depends. But friends, whatever we fix our desires on, whatever we fall in love with, that's going to shape the direction of our lives. Isn't it true? If we fix all of our desires on sports, if we fix all of our desires on working hard, or all of our desires on earning money, all of our desires on, you fill in the blank. What is the thing that you're most passionate about? Well, I could tell you something. If you ask me to find out what you're most passionate about, I'll look at your calendar and I'll look at your checkbook, if you still have one, so I could find out what you spend all your time and money on. That's your passion. That's the thing that is exciting. And it's not that any of those things are bad, but Psalm 1 is telling us that if you want to see that blessing in your life, sooner or later, if you love God, you're going to love His Word. You're going to fall in love with this Word. It's going to be something that's not just a reference book like the dictionary that you go to when you want to look something up, but something that you just feed on. The psalmist is saying, listen, if you want to see that revival in your life, let the Word of God be something that's just a part of your daily walk, that you meditate on it day and night, and that you fall in love with it. In Proverbs chapter 3, there's a similar thought, and it's talking about wisdom, by the way. It may even should be a capital W, wisdom, because throughout the Proverbs, wisdom almost becomes personified as that idea of having a relationship with God. Pursuing His wisdom is pursuing His ways in my life. That the wiser I am, the more I'm going to start thinking like He does. I'm going to love the things that He loves. I'm going to pursue the things that He pursues. The opposite in the Proverbs, if you've ever read it, is foolishness. And I'm delighted to find out that foolishness doesn't just mean being dumb. Foolishness is things like laziness and unforgiveness and anger and strife and all of those things that the Apostle Paul calls the works of the flesh. That's what a fool is in the Proverbs. And if you want to know more details, read the Proverbs. There's 31 of them. You can get through all of them in a month. By the way, kids, if you don't know how to read the Bible, start off like this. Read one proverb every day. And if you don't know which proverb to read, look on the calendar. If it says this is the third day of the month, then start on Proverbs 3. And then read 3 Psalms. You'll get through them all in a month. Then you can do it over again, because there's 150 Psalms. But here's one of them. Would you just read it with me? I love the Proverbs. He says, blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. And there's a song that we used to sing that borrows a lot of those words. But he says, wisdom. If you would just seek after that wisdom, that it's going to be more valuable than anything else in your life. And by the way, the more you seek after God's wisdom, the more all of the other aspects of your life are going to get better. It'll make an impact on your marriage, on your family, on your workplace. I know many guys that that work for a living and get up early and even get up a little bit earlier and start off with the Word of God. I had a friend that was a welder for years and was dyslexic, so it was difficult for him to read, but he had the Bible on audio tape. And so the whole day he'd be welding and he'd be listening to the Word of God over and over in his mind. Well, I mentioned a little while ago, there was a season in the Bible and in several places in the history of King Josiah. It says at one point that they went to go remodel the temple. So the temple had been around for a long time now. And while they were doing so, they found something called the Book of the Law. They discovered it. And they read it. Josiah says, read it to me. And they read it. And he just cried because they weren't doing any of that stuff, which is really interesting to me that there was a point in Israel's history that they had buried that thing so deep that nobody was listening to it anymore. Nobody even knew what was on it. And so that was what brought about this massive revival all over Judah. And so that's why just in my category, either it was during that time or it was along that same mindset, that they finally discovered the Word of God in their life and they began to put it into practice. And it brought about a blessing. And so it was a revival all over the place that wasn't just about us surviving the attack from some enemy on the outside, but it was for us doing that spiritual warfare with our own souls. Are we gonna feed on the Word of God and allow it to become a part of our life? Are we gonna be people of His Word? He called it the law, but it just means the teaching that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And friends, I'm here to tell you today that God's blessing will bring God's word will bring a blessing to anyone who reads it and heeds it. And notice, you have to do both, by the way. Reading it doesn't do any good, just any more than reading the instructions and then not following it does any good. Doesn't matter if you have a gym membership, if you never go, and I know most of us can't go anyway right now, but it's not just about reading it, but it's about doing it. And so James says it like this in the New Testament. Read it with me, would you? He says, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, that's what he calls it, and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but what? But doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Notice he says, this isn't a blessing that you have to go get from a priest or a pastor. This isn't a blessing because you've done this or that or put blood on your doorpost. This is just the blessing that you get from reading the word. He says, looking intently into it, gazing on it, thinking about it. But not only that, but what? You know, Nike had it right. Just do it. He said, not just reading his word, but do it. He says, you do that, you're going to be blessed. People come to me sometimes and they'll ask me to pray for a blessing. I love to pray for people. And you pray for people all the time too. We can bless one another. Lord, just bless my friend today. Just be with them and encourage them and heal them. We pray for each other all the time in our church. But guess what? If you just spend time with the Lord and allow his word to be part of your life, you're blessed already. There's a blessing that comes with that. And so it's not just about hearing it, right, but doing it. I got to tell you another story. You want to hear, this is a true story, but you knew that because all my stories are true. And I have kids that are witnesses. Molly could tell you this. This is a true story. So years ago, we took the kids down on the South Coast with some friends of ours. And while we were down there in Lakeside, we went over to the dunes and rented some dune buggies. Remember this, Molly? So all the adults got their own four-wheeler. But there was four of the boys that were too little at that point to ride their own. And so I got a six-seat side-by-side and put them all in it with me. And that was the fun car to be in, by the way. That was the awesome one. I just loved running these dunes. If you've never seen the Oregon dunes, some of those puppies are like 100 feet high. And I would go up to the top of it on the shallow edge and then down the other side. But I always did what Evel Knievel would do. Remember? Build up the tension. He would always, he'd go racing up the ramp and then he'd stop right at the top and look over it just to check it out. And then he'd go back down. He says, no, that wasn't it yet. Building anticipation. So I'd race towards the end. They'd be screaming. And then I'd stop right at the edge and we'd look over. You can't see the edge of the dune. It's just straight down. And then I'd say, oh, man, that's crazy. There's no way we're going down that. So I'd roll back down the hill and then turn around. All of a sudden, the throttle would get stuck. I'd say, oh, no, kids, here we go. I can't stop. And down the other side. And my friend looked at me and he says, when I saw you going down that dune accelerating, he said, I knew it was over. Some of you are looking really scared. We were completely safe. You can't steer those things unless you're accelerating. But they were in good hands until at the end. And so I had to tell you, so the first part of this, before we ever got the helmets or got into the dunes, there was an orientation. And so where the guy would, they'd show us the safety videos, which, by the way, I obeyed. But then they would take us over to the map, and he was explaining where to go and where all the best places are and how you get out to the beach and all that. And I was listening intently. Well, as good as somebody with ADD can listen, because it's not that I'm dumb, but sometimes I don't always listen very well. Anybody not listen very well sometimes? So here we were looking at this map, and he was showing us all the different places, and I was paying attention. And at one point, he launched into a speech about something. And so from this point is where Molly and I depart on our recollection of the facts and how it happened, because she doesn't think it was an accident, but I promise it was. At some point, he launched into a speech, which she says went something like, now, when you're coming back on that last trail, one thing that's very important to remember is that there are three grassy hills over on the side, and people get the idea that they're going to go down around side of it, but it's too steep, and most of the time people go on the other side, we have to come and tow them out because it's too steep and you can't get back out of that. So whatever you do, remember the three grassy hills. That's what he said. What I heard was blah, 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 three grassy hills. And so I didn't remember what, and then I completely forgot all of it because we were having so much fun. And so on the way back, we had about 10 minutes left before we had to turn in the rentals. We're driving down the road. I look over and I saw, wait a second, didn't that guy say something about three grassy hills? Let's go explore it. So we went up around there and we were doing pretty good. Then all of a sudden the road went like this to this. And those side-by-side, you know, have little tiny tires and whatever. I did what I was supposed to. I turned it uphill and floored it, and it dug in and dug in. And we were just going slow. Nobody was in danger. But that thing just went, boom. And there we all are, hanging upside down from our seatbelts. Nobody was hurt. It wasn't dangerous, but I couldn't get out of it. Hanging upside down. They're just screaming and yelling and laughing. And we finally got out of it. I had to call the guy, and he came and towed us out. All I can just say is, it's not good enough, I know now, to just listen to the instructions if you don't follow the instructions. And you can't follow the instructions if you never listened in the first place. Anybody learning a lesson from my... I hope you know. Have you noticed that in most of my stories, I'm the dummy at the end of the... But I got to tell you also, as bad as that may sound, at the end of the week, we videotaped these little kids and asked them, what was your favorite part? And guess what every one of those boys said when Mike dumped the side-by-side. Anyway, so it all ended well and nobody was hurt, but it still is important, friends. The Word of God works. It brings a blessing. It brings a blessing to our household, to our finances, to every part of our life. That prosperity that it's talking about, it just comes from being a child of God, listening to his word and putting it into practice. Anybody say amen? Say amen. Then the last thing is this. It's the path of fruitfulness. I could have also said the path of prosperity. For some people, that's kind of a controversial word. I don't really know why. It's one of the major themes of the Old Testament. Well, actually, I do. I know in modern circles, there can be good, healthy teachings about prosperity, and there can be extreme teachings about prosperity. I don't even want to get into all of that. The word just basically means, and here's what's so exciting for me. Are you with me? By the way, one of the most common words for prosperity is shalom, which means peace and happiness and joy. But this is a different one. He says, this person will be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever they do, prospers. Guess what the Hebrew word is? Tzalach. Guess what it means? Breakthrough. I love that. Who could use a little breakthrough right about now? I'm praying for this year to be a season of breakthrough. Anybody say amen to that? Say amen. I say it's only prophetic if you say it and somebody else amens it. If you need a little breakthrough in your life right about now, just grab a hold of the promise. He says whatever they do will break through. That they'll get over it. That they'll succeed. That their plans are going to work. That things are going to get better. And they're going to work out better this year than they did last year. Who doesn't want to grab a hold of that today? I love it. And so that fruitfulness, that prosperity, it comes from just a natural result. It's not something that we just have to strive and that we work for. So the psalmist talks to us about what being a person who just spends time in the Word, spends time with the Lord. And he says that they will be like a tree planted by rivers of water. I just love it. I love that verse. It's been one of my favorites, not because it's just because it's in Psalm number one. But I remember years ago, I was a youth pastor in a church up in northern Washington, and I was burnt out. I really was, friends, really seriously contemplating doing something else for a living. And I love ministry, I love people, I love preaching the Word of God, but the way I was doing it at this ministry was just a burnout. Was just constantly, you were just constantly empty. It's one of the reasons after I came here, I just made myself bound and determined not to develop a culture in our church that burns everybody out. You know, I want it to be like a thing that is, it brings joy and fruitfulness to people's life. When they come and serve, they do it because it's the joy of their hearts. You know, not one Sunday do I have to ask Doug Betchart to come and greet people at the door. You know, not one Sunday do I have to tell Nadine to be out there at the info table. It's just what they do because it's who they are. And the same with the musicians. You know, they do what they're doing just because it's a part of the joy of their life. And I remember coming from a season of total burnout where I didn't want to do ministry before. Before I ever saw this church, I just prayed one night when I was going to bed. I said, Lord, you know what would really make me happy for the rest of my life? It's just to find some little church down on a lake somewhere where I can just come and preach the Word of God and minister to people. What I didn't know was going to be a river. But just find a place down on the river, and this psalm has meant so much to me over the years. He says that you'll be like a tree planted by a river, that you just bear fruit in every season, your leaf won't wither, and whatever you do prospers. You know the best time to plant a tree? 20 years ago. Ever heard that phrase? You think that fruit's going to just happen in the first year or two, but it doesn't. There are some things now that after almost 26 years here that we're seeing in our church ministry together that couldn't have happened 10 years ago or 15 years ago. They're fruit that is taking place that has happened from over the long haul. And so if you ever feel like, you know, I feel like I'm just stuck in a rut, you ever get that wanderlust? Some people just can't stand to be a part of a church for more than about a year or two, and then they have to move on. And it's just, that's no judgment about it. But I often just wonder, I say, you know, if you really want to see long-range fruit, sooner or later you got to plant roots. You got to just be able to settle in and build relationships. And just like all those years it's taken Molly and I to build our relationship to what it is today. That doesn't happen overnight. And so if you're new to our church, plant your feet in. You're in a good place. You don't have to keep looking anyplace else. If God moves you on, that's up between you and the Lord. But there's something about just being content with being in God's will and having Him in our life and remembering who we are. Anybody say amen? Say amen. I don't know who I'm speaking to, if it's anybody other than just myself, but I'm learning to enjoy the fruitfulness of a life that is well planted. And so read with me Psalm 92. This will be the last psalm for the morning. Would you read it with me? It's a great promise and a great blessing. He says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age, and they will stay fresh and green. Who wants to be fresh and green right about now? Who wants to bear fruit? And I love that promise. Because not only did God promise blessings and fruitfulness to the young ones, and I believe you're never too young to start bearing fruit, never too young to start seeing God move through your life. But friends, guess what else? You're also never too old. There's not a season where God's forgotten about you. And this has been so hard. I've been grieving all along because I know it's hard for our kids and for those of us that are of working age. It's many challenges during this season. But my heart just goes out to all of those that are getting a little bit older season of their life. And the natural isolation that happens, or people that are in retirement homes and that can't get visitors, it just breaks my heart. I've talked to several people whose parents are not doing well, and they're cut off, and they have to talk through them through a window. I can't wait for that season to be over. Amen? But whoever you are in whatever season of your life, friends, I believe God has fruitfulness for you. I believe he has happiness for you. I believe he has all of those things to prosper you, to bring about a blessing in your life. It's never too late to bear fruit. God's people, the righteous, I like that word. It doesn't mean just people being holier than thou, but it means the people of God. The righteous ones, he said, they bear fruit even in their old age. There's different kinds of fruit in every season, but they still bear fruit. I want to just show you a little animated clip, and it comes from a really unusual source. It's a bank commercial from some bank in Eastern Europe, but it just made me cry. I don't know why, the strangest little things. And I don't have to set it up, you'll probably get it, but it's just a little animated short about a man named Edgar that lives in a retirement home and his care worker Marie. And well, just watch this. I think it's so sweet. Watch this. I love that story. Here's this guy that was just having a hard time with the season of life he was in, and it took the love of this young healthcare worker to just say, you know what? You need to remember who you are. Just go back, and she brought him that music that he had written when he was a young man that he had written for his mother, and it just took him back and reminded him of who he was when he was a boy. Sometimes we need people in our life that love us that much to just remind us. Remember who you are. Remember what you have that's of value. We really can help each other get through difficult times. And sometimes it's just about remembering whatever else I am. I'm a father, I'm a worker, I'm a husband, but always, very first, I'm a child of God. Very first, I am his child and he loves me. This is a brand new season, friends. I don't know about you, but I can't wait. I can't wait. I have just been fantasizing and dreaming about this spring and summer. And especially by fall, Dr. Fauci said the other day, he thinks by fall we'll be back to normal. Well, he's just guessing, but that's what I'm praying for. I'm praying for earlier than that. I've made a New Year's resolution. It's not very big and complicated. It's this year I want to spend more time outdoors. I want to enjoy the beautiful Pacific Northwest and the sunshine. I just can't wait for summer to come back again. And so this is a brand new year. Jesus said about being a tree, if you make the tree good, and its fruit will be good. If you make a tree bad, its fruit will be bad. Because a tree is recognized by his fruit. If you want to see good fruit this year, then just allow the Lord to work on the tree. Allow him to minister to you. Whatever it is in this season. Every season has different fruit, but there's fruit all the same. And so ask the Lord, what is it this next year that's going to be the fruitful path in my life? What is it, Lord, that you want to pour out upon me? Can I pray a prayer of blessing this morning? Would you just receive a blessing before we pray and ask the Lord into our hearts? Let me just pray. Father God, Lord, today, for every household, Lord, those that are watching online right now, every individual, every household, I just pray for your abundant blessing. And I know, Lord God, that it's not because of my power to give a blessing, that we're blessed just because you're in our lives, because you're the Lord of our lives. Lord, we're blessed because of your word and the presence of your Holy Spirit in our lives. So, Lord, I just pray that you bless these kids, every single one of them, as they go back to school this week. Bless their studies. Help them to grow wise and smart. Lord, bless the parents and the moms and dads that are keeping everything coordinated. Bless every worker, Lord, as we go back and have to adjust to new rules and new regulations, whatever we're doing. Bless all the retired people as if they need more blessing, right? But I just love the people that you've put in our lives, that you have given them the rewards of a long life of labor. And Lord, may these latter years even be more blessed than the former years. May they even be more fruitful than the former years, because now they have time to invest. Lord, I just pray for each and every one, especially for anyone right now that's shut in or that's isolated or that's feeling lonely. I just pray, Lord, for your sunshine to just come and pour out upon them. Lord, that this beautiful day would be a harbinger of things to come, and that we would be reminded of your fruitfulness in our lives. We give you all the praise today in Jesus' name. And friends, can I just ask, if there's even one person watching online or one person here today that knows at the beginning of 2021, the New Year's resolution for you is just to recommit your life to the Lord. Just give it back to him and say, Lord, in this new year, I just give it to you. I want you to be the Lord of my life. If that's you and you're here and want to say that prayer, would you just look up at me for a moment? Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name, Father. Well, friends, let's just pray. Would you mind standing to your feet with me today? And if you're next to somebody in your household, you can reach out and grab somebody's hand if you'd like to. And let's just pray together. Say this with me. Heavenly Father, I give you all the praise today. Lord Jesus, come into my life today. Be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me clean and write my name in the book of life. I give you all the praise today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord bless you. So good to see all of you here. Lord bless you at home and have a wonderful, wonderful day.